Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment.
All right, this is the MGB review of Voltage from Waynesboro, Pennsylvania, from November 13th.
And this is us preparing ready for our mini break, and this is our third day of recording in a row. We saw three events in 2 days last weekend, so we're recording actually on the 21st, and this probably won't go out for at least another couple of weeks after that. A few things to talk about this one before we get to the start. We obviously just talked on the last interview that we left EWA Maryland. We stopped off at Wendy's to get some food, and then we drove to Waynesboro, and we didn't get there quite as early as I thought we were going to. The GPS was kind of a little strange on us. It kept flipping on times, and we probably got there 15 minutes beforehand, and as we got there we pulled into the parking lot and there wasn't many spaces. It was difficult to find. I was like, well, let me just drive along the front. And well, as we kind of went to the front, we didn't realize all the people were still waiting to get in. I don't know if they just only opened the doors. And I was like, oh, there's no spaces here. I'm like, I don't know where we're going to park. Like, it wasn't really like a road or anything. It wasn't like there was other places you could park. There was other businesses, but they have signs like, hey, you park here, you're going to get towed. I'm like, what are we going to do? Anyway, as we drove around, we saw the people in the road. And I went super slow. And I'm thinking, I wish you'd just move across just like a little bit. Like, I slowed right down and got past, no problem. And then we saw a spot. And then in my head at the time, I was like, well, why would there be one spot here? And I was like, is it disabled or something? And I was like, no, there's no sign or anything. Didn't think much of it. And then I start to pull into the spot. And then somebody starts yelling at the side of the car, like, ow. And then they're banging on the car. And I'm like, is there something in front of me? Like, I just didn't see. Or is there like a motor? Then I was like, oh, is there like a motorbike? And I just didn't see it. Because it was really dark in there as well. Anyway, I'm kind of confused, and I was like, and then that person went to their car, and I was like, okay, and I did check, and there was nothing there, and as I got out of the car, the guy's like, you hit me. I was like, what? He's like, when you came in, he's like, you hit me with your car, and I'm like, really confused, because I was like, did I? I was like, I don't think so. Like, I was going really slow. I didn't hear a sound on the car or anything, and I'm just super confused. And anyway, I think we did get into the spot. And then he's like, I want to see your license or something. I'm thinking, oh my God. I'm like, what the heck? I'm like, I have no idea. But it was just, none of it really kind of made sense in my head. And you were thinking like, oh great, we're going to have like a court case here, or you're going to get sued, or all this stuff. Anyway, this carried on for about 30 seconds. Me just being like really confused. And I'm like, I guess I must have hit that guy then. If he's saying I hit him, why would he not say I hit him? And then anyway, he's like, oh, I'm just screwing with you, mate. I was like, what? I was like, yeah, no, he's like, you didn't hear me at all. I was like, oh my God. I was like, oh my God. It was a long day at this point, because we'd already been to two different events previous. This is the third event. We'd already traveled hundreds of miles. And I was like, perhaps I am tired. Perhaps I didn't really judge the width properly because it was kind of dark. Was there like one person I didn't see? And anyway, we start talking, and this is a wrestler. We find out this is a wrestler. And, we said, oh, we just came from EWA Maryland. And he's like, I know those guys. And I was like, yeah, we just saw, like, Rico Hendrix and that. He's like, oh, that's my tag team partner. Now, considering all the BS this guy's just told me, I'm like, is this true? And he's like, oh, I'm facing Mr. Grimm tonight. And I'm like, in my head, I'm like, I don't think you are. Because I already know what the card is for this. And I know you're not facing Mr. Grimm, because I would have said. And he told us his name was Van Williams as well, which I didn't pick up on at the time. I couldn't hear properly because there was other people talking. Anyway, we kind of joked around for a little bit. We talked wrestling for a few minutes, and then we went inside. Oh, and I did mention the fact. I said, he's got a podcast. And he's like, who? And I was like, hey, come on over. So I introduced you to Vam as well. So I said, hey, I think we've got we're collecting information here. We're looking for stories. I was like, you've just given us a great opening to the start of this one. But oh my God, I was really upset at that point. I was like, did I really hit somebody? And he's like diving around and going, ow, and all stuff like that. Obviously, he's a wrestler, so he knows how to sell. But I'm like, oh my God. So yes, Vam Williams, I hate you right now. And I said, I am definitely booing you when it gets to your match. And when we get to that match, I'm pretty sure I wrote that down, that I was booing him. Yeah. I don't think anything else could even begin to dominate the intro except for that. Except once we went in, Mason, do you want to describe the arena a little bit?
The ring was very, like, close to the ceiling.
I don't think I've ever seen a ring so close to the ceiling as this. It was clear that you couldn't stand on the top rope.
Don't even think Hornswoggle could have stood on the top.
It was very close. So we knew there was no superplexes or anything. We knew that Big Trouble Ben Bishop was going to be at this one as well. And I was like, is he even going to be able to get into the ring? Like, it looked close, and we kind of wait until when the first people came in, I was like, I think he's going to have to duck. Like, he was walking to, he walked through the door at one point. He has to duck as he goes through doors. I'm like, I don't think he's going to get in the ring. But anyway, we're like, well, this could be really interesting. I don't mind necessarily that there's a low roof. It means that you have to go with a certain skill set. Like, you can still grapple in there, but there's certain moves, obviously, you can't do. But you have to be conscious of what you're actually doing. Match one was Riot City's Most Wanted versus Top Dogs. Top Dogs, I know, is Alan Clayball, and I can't remember his partner's name, actually, which is annoying me. I'm not sure who Riot City's Most Wanted is. It's not Sickened, I know that. He was part... They do chant Riot City for him.
Yeah.
Do you have any of the names for it? I looked, but I couldn't find them online.
All they got was AC Wolf and Scumdog. That's what it said on the back of his trunks. His name wasn't Scumdog.
He's not AC Wolf anymore. It said AC Wolf on his pants?
No, on AC's Wolf it said like Top Dog, and then the other one.
You know, he's not AC Wolf anymore, right?
Yeah.
That's why he's Adam Clayball.
Oh, okay. Adam?
We saw him as a... Interestingly, I am going to talk about that event. One of the... I think it was the third event we ever went to in Hagerstown. He was there as AC Wolf. It was one of the first ones you have. I know the...
I think it was Alan flying. Or Adam?
Oh, sorry, Alan. I apologize. I think you're right. Because they were heckling him as AC Wolf, and he's like, "Yeah, I'm not AC Wolf anymore." So yeah, he hasn't been AC Wolf for a while. All right, why don't you tell us about the match? Because with not knowing the people's names, it was kind of difficult for me to look.
The person who he came out with was Scumdog. Well, his name wasn't Scumdog, but that's what he had in his trunks.
Okay.
Versus Ray Vex, I think it was.
Oh, could be.
And then I don't know the other guy.
Okay.
So, Ray took Alan's hat, and they were both taking the hat off each other while doing different moves.
Mm-hmm.
Scumdog spits on Ray Vex's partner, hand when offered a handshake. Mm-hmm. A double clothesline to the dogs, and a suicide dive by Ray. Alan puts Ray in a sleeper, and Ray sends Alan over the ropes onto the outside, and when Scum got suplexed, when he got slammed, he hit the ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
A double slam by the Top Dogs, and Ray does a brain buster. And then his partner finishes it off with a headbutt.
And we kind of quickly went straight from one match into the next one because, as both it says on the, we have quick results from the Voltage website. After the contest, Beastman came to the ring and laid out both teams, leading to Eric Acton making the save and challenging Beastman to the match.
It was more Hyena Hex and Beastman.
Yeah, they were both there, and I'm pretty sure Captain Crunch was there as well, Captain Decapitate.
Yeah.
I was wondering, I meant to ask you at the time, do you think the fans who had the Captain Crunch cereal there, were that the same people that we saw at the last Voltage? This was the first Voltage in Pennsylvania. I don't think we mentioned that.
I think it was different people. Yeah, the ones who we sat with.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was different people.
Oh, okay. So, match two then is, Beastman against Eric Acton? I think that's right. What you got for this one, Mason? Oh, actually, hold on. Before you get to that, I'm sorry. I have something for this one. I was looking up Beastman, because Beastman actually appears several times in this one. So this is not the only mention we're going to get of Beastman. As we're recording, Mason, this was the day before. November 20th will be Wrestle Pit's initial show in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I'm not sure if it's Pale Pro. It's got a little accent on it. I think it might be Palais Pro. And Wrestle Pit proudly present Blast Off live from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, featuring Danhausen, Raylan, Chandler Hoping. It says Hoppinks on here. I think that's supposed to be Hopkins. I think they misspelled that one. Actually, that might be me mistyping it. Palais Pro champ Cam Cole, Beastman, and Ring of Honor six-man world tag champions Shane Taylor Promotions. And Beastman has a very prominent picture on there. You know sometimes how they have the main stars in the middle and then they have kind of smaller pictures behind? Beastman's right there, right on the front of the picture. And I saw a little clip from that one as well, but it might be one I might be tempted to rent from Fight. Some of the matches are actually good, and there's actually some people on that show that I'm going to mention in a second as well. But tell us about the match first, Mason.
Basically, Beastman does a chokeslam, and then Beastman wins with a cannonball. It wasn't that. It was a pretty quick match.
It was. You expect Beastman to be somebody who's dominant, because that's why Captain Decapitate brought him in. He's basically the Wrecking Crew. So.
Oh, was that his, like, special guy who he's called?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yep. Yeah, because we missed that one show, but that was him.
Yeah,
that was who he was bringing in, Beastman. Yep, because I saw the Twitter handle, but didn't know who it was at the time, and then now, obviously, I know him a little bit better. Also featured on that card, Mason, was Savage Gentleman, who we'll be talking about later, and Lady Frost. Thank you for a successful debut show. Yes, we know the venue was cold. You can blame at real Lady Frost. We are growing and learning, but all of the wrestlers showed it. If you missed the stream, check it out here. And then there was a link to the Fight TV thing. But no, I saw a few clips from it, and the card did look particularly impressive. I don't think Danhausen would have actually wrestled in the end because he was injured a couple of weeks ago. I think he's broken a tibia, I think it said, so he's out for a while. What? Tibia, and then like, so he won't be wrestling for a while now. Match three was Corey Buescher versus Ian, and I'm going to let you describe that in a little bit, Mason. But Ian, before we get to that, I saw this for Corey Buescher. He was actually at, I think this is the day before this event, Embassy Theatre Presents Stand-Up Comedy Showcase, 7:30 p.m. as part of Embassy Theatre's 90th birthday bash, featuring, and then there's some pictures here of different people, Matt, Chad, Don, Law, Anthony Wright, and Tate Griffin. And you're probably wondering, why on earth are you talking about this when we're at a wrestling match? Hosted by the weight of the world, Corey Buescher.
Oh, really?
So I'm wondering if Corey Buescher has a little comedic side to him that I didn't know about. Now, I know Benjamin Banks did one of these comedy showcases down in Virginia Beach a few years ago, probably about 3 years ago. So, yeah, I don't know. Might have to ask Corey Buescher what his best joke is next time we see him. I want to know more, but I couldn't find out anything more.
He's been pretty good at insulting people on the outside.
He did. Yeah, he can definitely cope with hecklers. Like, if anyone can cope with hecklers, it's wrestlers. So you put that into a comedy setting, then they're already kind of trained in how to deal with those people. They already have the put downs. They kind of, I'm sure you work through them. You probably have probably more practice because you probably get to work several times a weekend. Like, comedy things, they're not always as frequent as comedy showcases aren't always as frequent as wrestling matches, so I don't know. All right, Mason, tell us about the match. Tell us who Ian is. I don't normally just read one name out.
You messed up his name already.
I did?
It's Ian. Corey said that, you know what, that... So basically he was talking about how he lost and stuff like that.
Yeah. He was Corey expecting to be a dominant figure, and he's already lost his first two matches.
Yeah, and then Corey was saying something like, you know what that means? And a fan said, you're going to get beat up again.
That was pretty funny.
Yeah.
I like that.
And then he also said, Corey also said, what can I do to be different? And then a fan said, win.
That was, the people in the crowd actually were perfect. Like, you couldn't have put a spotter in a better place for that. Like, if you plan that and you put somebody in the crowd and it's like, hey, when I say this, you couldn't have put it any better than that. No, they were making fun of Corey and it played into his whole, I'm being angry anyway and I'm going to get even angrier. So, no, it worked great. I did say to you, I was like, hey, you wrote that down, right? Because I would not have remembered that. But that, I thought they were really funny. Everybody was laughing in the whole arena.
Corey says that Corey like makes an open challenge for anyone to come out in the back, and nobody does. And so he then opens it up to the fans, and then a few people volunteer, and then he insults them, and then one person comes out, and his name is Ian.
Well, he didn't come out. He was sat on the song.
Well, yeah, he yeah.
He was just a fan. He's like, any of you fans? Okay, as nobody's coming out, as I'm not hearing any music playing, what about one of you fans? Oh, the thing that they did to set this up, which I thought was really strange at the start, they made a big deal at the start saying, on the rules of Pennsylvania, blah, 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 do not throw anything to the ring or else you'll be ejected, which, fair enough. But they were like, do not enter the ring at all or you'll be ejected, unless instructed to otherwise by, like, a member of Voltage or something. I was like, huh? Like, the wording of it was, like, really weird. So I was like, okay, somebody's coming into the ring then. And then we'd obviously forgot about it at this point. But then as soon as they announced that, then... Because they made also a big point of, no, Ian, you can step into the ring. We're giving you permission. If you want to fight Corey Buescher, then that's okay. You will not be subject to arrest or anything. It was a little overplayed, I thought. But, hey, it is the way it goes.
There was big Ian chants. And people say Ian because when they asked his name, he said, Ian... And so everyone just...
I missed that. I did not pick up on that at all. That's why I was kind of confused when you said, Ian.
Yeah. Corey runs into Ian, and then a splash by Corey for the win. It was a pretty quick match, but it was pretty, like...
All right, well, first of all, I don't think Ian was a fan. I think Ian is a wrestler.
Yeah,
I don't know who Ian is, but you missed the start part. Like, when he came in, like, he took his jacket off, threw it straight over Corey's head so Corey couldn't see, and then got some moves in on him.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, this guy has done this before, but yeah, I don't know who it is. I would really like to know who it is. It wasn't a wrestler I'd seen before, for sure. It could be somebody who's training. We don't really know Pennsylvania wrestling that well either, because we're normally focused in Maryland and Virginia, so it could be somebody who those... I didn't get the reaction though that people in the crowd knew who Ian was.
Yeah, I
don't think he certainly didn't stand out. Like, as we were waiting, like, I didn't look around. Because you kind of look around casually around the crowd. I wasn't looking and going, oh, look, there's a wrestler sat front row. So, yeah, it played out pretty well for that. So, 4 years ago this week, Mason, it was actually when we went to Hagerstown. It's when we first saw Corey Bush. And we also got to saw Eli Drake at that one. And actually, we did get to see AC Wolf. And the reason I'm mentioning it, it leads perfectly into match four, actually.
What's going on, everybody? This is the wild-eyed headbanger, Mad Max Morrison, and you are listening to the MGB Wrestling Podcast. Get in the pit, slam dance, mosh, 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 yeah!
Match four was Max Morrison versus James Storm. This was kind of the reason we really went to this one. Once again, thanks to Max Morrison, we managed to get a code, so we got a slight discount on this. We paid straight away for the meet and greet with James Storm. The reason I did that is one of your first wrestling shirts that you have, and you still have it. You love that shirt. The sorry, not sorry, with the guy super kicking his head off.
Yeah.
I love that shirt. So you knew you were going to wear that. So James Storm, he started his career in 1997, and after, this is from Wikipedia, and after working on several independent promotions, he began to wrestle for the newly created TNA. Storm participated in TNA's first event and became a tag team with Chris Harris. There's actually somebody on Visionaries Global Media who appears on that, or on Radio Techers, whose name's Chris Harris as well. I'm assuming it's not the same one. America's Most Wanted.
It's a pretty common name.
It is. Become one of the best tag names. It just, when I read it through that time, I was like, huh. Became tag teams in the promotion, winning 6 times the NWA World Tag Team Championship. He also won the NWA World Tag Team Championships one more time with Christopher Daniels. And after the team disbanded in 2006, Storm started a singles career, crowning himself as the TNA World Beer Drinking Champion. And that's kind of where I think of him as well. When we started watching Impact, he always used to come out with a beer. So that's kind of my association
as
well.
What if he got drunk?
I don't think he was drinking that much.
Yeah, he
could,
probably
did. We did talk about this at the venue as well. It could be non-alcoholic beer as well.
During the intermission, like, somebody gave him his beer back. And it wasn't even halfway done.
Yeah, and I'm going to say, it doesn't have to be alcoholic anyway. It could be low percentage. And
Stone Cold. Like, Stone Cold goes through, like, a six-pack to the ring, but, like, not even a whole beer.
Yeah, most of it goes on the floor.
Yeah, not even a whole beer probably gets in his mouth.
Yep. In 2008, Storm formed Beer Money Inc. with Bobby Roode. Together, they became 4-time TNA World Tag Team Champions. I didn't know that. And joined the Fortune Stable. And in 2011, Storm defeated Kurt Angle to win the TNA World Heavyweight Championship, his first world title. During the following years, Storm won the TNA World Tag Team Championship 2 more times with Gunner in 2013 and Abyss in 2014, as well as the TNA King of the Mountain Championship once.
Oh, yeah.
He would leave TNA in 2015. Storm returned in 2016, though, winning the TNA World Tag Team Championship 1 more time with Bobby Roode as Beer Money. And after leaving in 2018, Storm worked for several independent promotions, most noticeably, notably NWA, and he won the NWA World Tag Team Champions with Eli Drake. That was not my little connection there. You like that? How I managed to get everything to blend in together?
Yeah.
An NWA National Championship 1 time. All right, Mason, go ahead.
Mad Max Morrison headbutted the ceiling, like,
yeah,
in his entrance.
Yep.
Captain Crunch, Beastman, and Hyena Hex come out, and they basically, like, challenge them to a tag match.
So, did they even start the match?
Eh, a little bit. Probably for about a minute.
Yeah, I don't think anything particularly happened, did it? Yeah. One other thing I saw on, I really like this quote from James Storm on his Twitter page. The world is a book, and those who don't travel only read one page. And that really resonated with me. I'm not sure who made that quote, but that was one I really liked. So match five, then, as you already said, then, was actually Mad Max Morrison and James Storm versus Beastman and Hyena Hex. I didn't realize
no
it was...
No DQ.
And no DQ. I didn't realize it was Hyena Hex. I gotta admit, I forgot that there was those two were together for this one. Yeah, go ahead, take it away. I was really pleased for Max on this one. Max had a big smile on his face a lot of the time. They were clearly having fun. James Storm was interacting with the crowd as well and kind of throwing comments out to them and laughing. This was just a fun experience. Everybody was having fun, and yeah, it was good. I liked it.
Talk about a wrestler who can make jokes. James Storm called Captain Decapitate a senior citizen of the Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh, he did. He did. That got a good laugh from him. Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that was fun.
James hypes up Max to like swing. I think it was it's got to be Hyena Hex.
Mm-hmm.
And he only gets like 1 rotation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he didn't get very far at all.
James smacked Hyena's chest so hard. And Hyena reversed running the ropes, and Beastman gave James a corn dog. Like when you knee the in their butt.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant a literal corn dog. I was like, I do not remember that at all. Wow.
Huh. But I'm specifically leaving out the smack part. The whole crowd was yelling smack.
Oh, they were?
Yeah, never mind.
I do not remember.
Something I cannot say.
Okay, that's fine. Podcast. We're on a PG podcast. Yep.
Beastman jumps on James on the outside, and Beastman misses an elbow. Beastman chokeslams Max on his neck, and Hyena gets squashed by Beastman and Max, and James lay on top of them for the win.
Okay.
There was Beastman, James, and Max lay on top
of
him.
I do remember that. That's gotta hurt. I do remember that finish, yeah. Yeah, no, thoroughly enjoyable match. It worked better, actually, than the singles match. Mm-hmm. And that took us into the intermission. All right, behind the scenes, we actually just took a real intermission as well. We were getting food ready for lunch, so it was actually the intermission came at the perfect time. And Mason explained to me what the smack thing was as well. I was like, yeah, it was funny, but yeah, I don't think we need to. It was basically smack him on the chest, but they didn't say that. So, okay, I think you made a good choice trying to keep this PG. Now, the intermission, we had a lot to do, actually, in this one, because we knew we already had the meet and greet with James Storm. We saw Savage Gentleman was there, and he had his Butterfinger belt there as well, which I don't think I saw that at the original Voltage one, or if I did, I forgot, or we didn't talk to him, I can't remember. So it was like, oh, we definitely need to get the 8x10 with that on, because it looks really cool, and also time to get a new photograph as well. I don't think you actually had a photo with Savage Gentleman before. It was them and Lady Frost at Fury Pro, but it's been a long, long time ago. I know Jackson did at Crab Wrestling. So we got that, we got the new picture. And then we went to James Storm, and we waited in line for that. And as we're waiting in line to meet with James, we actually saw that Ben Bishop, who was sat next to him, actually had not 8x10s, 4x6s. But we're like, oh, great, we can finally get an autograph this time as well. So we waited in line for James. My favorite moment with James was, there was two. One, he recognized your shirt straight away, not surprisingly. But that was kind of cool that there was that recognition and we got to tell a story about that. And actually, I have a slightly bigger one for you because I think you must have grown out of that. You're probably just trying to deprive your brother of wearing that shirt right now. Yeah, you're nodding. That's what I figured. And also the fact that as I'm taking a picture, and I didn't notice this, I always take multiple pictures now, because sometimes you blink, not deliberately, but it just happens. Sometimes Jay doesn't always look at the camera, and there's kind of like an art piece that goes around on Facebook that says, I took two pictures of people. One, I asked if I could take a picture, and then one when I told them, I think you look beautiful, or something like that. And people normally smile on the second one, so you got like a normal picture and a smile picture. We kind of have one of those, and I don't think it was deliberate. Like, the first picture was fine, but then I think I said, oh, Jay, I think you're actually looking at the camera. And then that, and we have the second picture, and we got James with a big smile on his face, and you can kind of tell, even though you have a mask on, like your eyes, you can tell you're smiling as well. So it actually looks really good, the contrast between those two pictures. We went to Ben Bishop. He had those pictures there. He didn't have any change, so we always go into the ATM. Yeah. I only had 20s. With them being smaller pictures, I think it was just 5. And so anyway, he cut us a deal. We got a shirt. We got a picture. And I think Jay managed to get a hat out of it as well, because I think he felt bad that Jay didn't get anything. But so we got the picture. And Jay wasn't shy this time, because last time at the last one, he wouldn't go to. And he was like, no, I don't want a picture. I'm like, really? And so I was like, do you want a picture today? And he was like, yeah. So he was involved for that. I don't know why. Sometimes he does. Oh, he didn't want a picture with Victor Benjamin, though.
Yeah.
I got in on the picture for that one. So he was like, oh, I never get to take the pictures. I'm like, well, that's true, but that's because I want you in the picture. But he was good that he wasn't shy enough this time.
Didn't
so.
You end up cropping yourself out of the picture? What was that?
The
Ninja Mac.
I did with Ninja Mac. I actually made two separate pictures. I did one so it looks like it's just me and him, and then I did one so it looks like it's just you and him, because there was a bit of a gap between us. So it looks like two separate encounters, but it was all from the same picture. So that was cool that we finally got an 8x10 from Ben Bishop as well. And then as we were going across, Beastman wasn't at his table originally, because he was right next to Savage Gentleman. And then we saw he came back, so I was like, oh, let's go back there. So I was like, oh, we'll get an 8x10 from him. And you said it was the craziest deal ever. I don't know if you can remember.
Yeah, it was 1 for 15 or 2 for 20.
Which is fine. So we got two. You each got one. Yeah, I think you both picked different pictures as well. So yeah, that kind of worked well. And then I was like, can we get a picture with you? And he's like, absolutely. And I was just joking. I was like, oh, let me just change the angle. I was like, we don't want Savage Gentleman's peanut butter, Butterfinger belt in the way. I didn't realize Savage Gentleman was right there. I was only joking. I'm sure he realized I was joking. And he's like, oh, no. I was like, no, please come in. It'll be a great picture. And he's like, no. And then anyway, so he kind of took it, and he then did something which actually worked out even funnier. He kind of photobombed, but from the back. Like, he was kind of walking sideways, and he kind of just looked out the corner of his eye at the picture. It looks kind of funny anyway. So we did that, and then I think actually we do have a proper picture with him in the picture as well. So, we got all those and took the stuff back out of the car because we had so much stuff. And then, I think that was pretty much it for the intermission, right?
Yeah.
I can't think of anything else. So, match six is where... Oh, we did ask Ben Bishop. We were like, have you stepped in the ring yet? He's like, yes, I've stepped in. I was like, did your head touch the ceiling? He's like, no, it didn't.
He was like, it's going to be a tight fit.
Yeah. So he knew he was going to have to improvise. What I should have asked was, did he realize the ceiling was going to be that low when he took the booking? Like, I don't know for things like that. Like, you could turn, unless you've been to that venue before, you might have no idea. And it's kind of interesting because my moment four, so let me get to match six then, Mason. Match six. Oh, actually, it's right at the end. I can't do that quite now. One of his later matches, he's actually a ring which has kind of those same ceiling tiles that you talked about. Like, when they kick him, they kind of go up and then come back down again. But it was way, way higher. Like, it was must have been at least 5 feet higher. So you don't always know when you go to those arenas what exactly they're gonna look like. Anyway, match six is Ben Bishop versus Victor Benjamin. This was the one on the card I was probably the most excited for.
No,
you shaking your head?
It was Van Williams versus Mr. Grimm.
That's not what they said on the results.
Before, it's Van Williams versus Mr. Grimm.
Oh, well, they got that wrong on the results then. They said that was match seven. I think you're wrong.
What do you mean? Do you think I would write the match first and then...
Nothing would surprise me. Nothing would surprise me. But all right, match six then is Mr. Grimm versus Van Williams. Now, the point about Van Williams was, he also, when he told us he tagged with Rico and he said, oh, I'll follow you guys on Twitter. Like, I didn't get his Twitter handle, but I was like, I can find Van. That's Van Williams is not going to be that common a name. And when I looked on Twitter, somebody was with zero followers. The other one was definitely not him either. And that's when I started getting the suspicion. I was like, is this guy for real? So anyway, I asked Rico, and because, like I said, I missed his name at that point. And he said, yeah, it's Van Williams. And he didn't think he was on Twitter, actually. We actually saw him as we were leaving the show, and he told us what his Twitter handle was, and he was there. So, yeah, at this point, it was kind of like, is this guy for real, or is he? I can't remember who Mr. Grimm was supposed to face before, but I think it was somebody from Lucha Underground.
Yeah, it was.
I can't remember his name. It's something like Ricky Romero or something like that.
Close enough. Yeah.
Something close to that. So, anyway, no, I was happy that Van was there. He was clearly a heel. There was no doubt about it, and I was quite happy to boo him along with that. Boo! I'll give him a nice loudest boos for that one. We have actually seen Van before, and I didn't realize this as I started to put my research together for this. Fight Club Pro Wrestling, hashtag PordWC, the one we go to see in DC where Trish Dora's champion. Yeah. Walls and Mako, who we'll be talking about in our next review, are looking to put the world on notice and give anybody this work. Meanwhile, after reuniting with an old ally, Andino moves to tag team action with Van Williams to give the solution to pro wrestling pollution. It's Black Magic versus Progress. Oh, I guess it's Progress. At Summer Jam. We reviewed that match.
That's crazy because we saw Sam Andino on MCW, our first event.
Yep.
Then we saw Black Magic on our second one.
Yeah.
And then we saw Van Williams on our third.
Actually, you got that slightly wrong. Both of those two you said were at the second one. The first one we went to was MCW.
Yeah, MCW. We saw Sam Adonis.
No. Andino.
Oh.
It's Chris Andino. He was in the second match that we reviewed. He was the one who left at the end because it was 4-on-1. And he's like, oh, heck
no.
Oh,
that was him?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So yeah. I saw that one. So yeah, I guess. And I'm pretty sure we reviewed that. Or if we didn't, we were going to review it. So we had actually seen Van Williams before. We just actually forgot about it. All right. Tell us about the match then, Mason.
So Van attacks Mr. Grimm. And actually, we had Mr. Grimm's family next to us.
And we did, yeah. We didn't know that, obviously, at the time, when we just thought it was a family who was sitting there, but then obviously
yeah,
later...
Yeah, but then Mr. Grimm came later and mm-hmm. ate food with them, and then she was recording, the whole match.
Yeah.
And I think they do that so they can see the match later.
Oh, yeah, you want to critique it. Like, you want to look at certain points to see, like, does something look good, I guess? Or, obviously, the other side is if you do something that you might think is okay, until you watch it on video, you don't always know.
Like, in a later match, there was also another wrestler's wife and baby, and she was recording it, too.
Yeah,
and I remember seeing in an interview, the MJF interview, that he would watch film on himself. Too.
That's what the pros do when they for other things. So it makes sense that you'd want to do that to kind of see yourself. Like, also, I think for wrestlers as well, and I don't know if this specific video was, you know, obviously it's a tool for promoting yourself as well. Like if you've got your own YouTube channel, that's how you get people's attention. Like, hey, look at this match or look at this match. Like, or you want to take the highlights out when you put your promo tape together, like when you got your best moves. So they might want to just edit that. Hey, this spot here was really good. Let me take that part. And then when you got a collection of those, you can send that out to other people as well. So it makes sense that you'd want to promote yourself as well if you can physically record it. Like, there was a hard cam, but not always. I heard this before. Like, I assumed that they would give copies of this to the wrestlers. And I know I heard before that some companies charge wrestlers for like copies of the tape, which is ridiculous to me. Like, you're promoting their company at this point. Like, why would you do that? Or others have said, it's on IWTV, just go watch it there, and then you gotta pay for IWTV or whatever. Speaking of which, my fifth anniversary of IWTV today. Nice. It's the fifth time it just came out. It was $100 again for 12 months. It's ridiculous how often I watch IWTV. It's by far the best subscription I have. All right, tell us about the match.
Mr. Grimm is pinning Vam against the post, and a suicide dive by Vam. The ref helps Vam lift Mr. Grimm into the ring, which the ref got so many boos.
Oh, yeah, he was hated. Like, everybody knew who he was.
He's a corrupt ref, I think.
I think he is. Yeah, they obviously know him better than what we did, but yeah.
Like, I think that's the role that he's trying to play. A buckle bomb by Grimm, and Vam does a neck breaker, and Vam rakes the eyes of Mr. Grimm, and then a code breaker by Mr. Grimm. Vam does the code breaker. Mr. Grimm does a huge clothesline and then a choke slam by Vam, a super kick by Vam. Then Mr. Grimm returns the favor by doing a shoulder tackle all the way across the ring.
It looked really impressive. It reminded me, I know Eric Royal used to do that a lot at Nova Pro, and it looks really impressive when they run the ropes the opposite way and they get that shoulder charging. They just go flying. Yeah, it looked great.
The show we saw yesterday, that happened, and I was a little worried that he was going to come flying into us because he went so far.
Yeah, we were close to the edge of the ring for that one.
Because he was, flying under the ring, and I thought he was going to go into us, but he, put his arm up to stop him.
Yep.
Which was great ring awareness. Mr. Grimm wins with a Death Valley driver.
Uh-huh.
This is Savage Gentleman Victor Benjamin, and you're listening to the MGB podcast. And I'm also pro pancakes. Waffles suck.
All right, well, I had match 6, but you said match 7. This, then, is Ben Bishop versus Victor Benjamin. Mm-hmm. We're going to start off with Victor Benjamin first for this one, because I don't think we've talked about this since we last had one of his matches. At AEW Enhance, on AEW Dark Elevation number 35, Frankie Kazarian defeated the Savage Gentleman, Victor Benjamin, who made his AEW debut. Recently, Victor became the new C3W champion.
Yeah. By the time this comes out, that'll be ages ago.
It doesn't make any difference. I think it said this was like November 1st. Actually, the next quote's from Savage Gentleman on November 1st. So this is like 3 weeks ago, but by the time this comes out, it'll be 5 weeks ago. I'm sure people, if you haven't watched it by this point, you're probably not watching it anyway. He said, you only get one opportunity to make a first impression. Thank you at AEW, hashtag now that's Savage, hashtag AEW Dark Elevation. And it was really impressive. He looked really good. A lot of the local fans were like, we wish you could have had a little bit longer, but those debut matches tend to be pretty short. They tend to be 2-3 minutes, and that's pretty much what it was. And we'll be having some similar ones appearing on AEW Dark Elevation this week as we're recording. I think we already mentioned it before, but like Trish Adora, Willow Nightingale, Irvin Legend, Erica Lee, and I think there's one more, but I can't remember who it was. I think last time I said it, I couldn't remember who the other person was as well.
Yeah, I thought it was really cool when I saw when I got one of those magazines or whatever it's called. It's not like a magazine, but
a publication.
Sure, whatever.
He said, I don't know what it's called. And then he said a magazine.
No, not a magazine, but it's something close to that. Okay. And I saw Savage Gentleman on it because he was one of Batista's bodyguards.
Oh, okay.
I can't remember which one it was. It might have been
I know what it was. I think it was, wasn't it like one of those programs or something like you get from the house shows?
Yeah, a program.
I remember now you showing me that because it was like, we didn't know at the time. Then suddenly it's like, oh, look, there's Savage Gentleman. Yeah, that was cool. Yeah.
Okay, into the match. Ben comes out with Jif peanut butter, and Savage Gentleman hates Jif, so I think he must be a Skippy guy.
Could be.
Ben is like probably like a half an inch away from the ceiling when he steps into the ring.
Oh, that's what I meant to say, because I was confused by this, because I don't really like peanut butter particularly. Jif, to me, is a brand of floor cleaner in England, so I was, like, really confused as to why they're saying Jif. Like, I did not make the connection that was peanut butter. I think somebody had to explain that to me.
Yeah.
Because I know we were talking about... Oh, no, that's not what somebody had to explain to me. Mm-hmm. When we came back from the intermission, they was like, please look out, somebody's left, like, an asthma inhaler on the floor.
Oh, yeah.
And then I remember, there was something on the floor, and I looked down, and it was just a cigarette lighter.
Yeah,
but I remember having to come... All right, not that... I hope they found that. That could be really bad. Like, if you're an asthma sufferer and you suddenly need that, that can be... I'm hoping they got that back. All right, sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, for me, I always had spares.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would have one in the car. Mom would have one in her purse. And there would be one at home. Yep. So you wouldn't really...
Hopefully. Yeah. They're expensive to replace, though, or they can be. I know when Mom had to get you all those spares for, like, school and stuff like that, they can be a little pricey, so... Yep.
Ben comes... Yeah, he's... inch away from the ceiling. Ben ran the ropes and his head hit the ceiling. Victor slides under the ring to stop Ben from slinging him off of the ropes and into like a clothesline or something. And when Ben tries to get out of the ring, Savage Gentleman just kicks the ropes and then Ben hits Victor's head on all sides of the ring apron, and Ben does a double chop, and Victor gets Ben in a submission, but Ben's arms are so long he can, like reach the ropes from, like, even if he's in the center of the ring.
You've really got to think about where you position him, because obviously he's got long legs, long arms, and, yeah.
Like, twist him diagonally, because the hypotenuse.
There we go, using those math skills, I like it. Yeah, that would make sense, yeah, and that's the way to do it.
Yeah, but he can just probably turn easily.
He can, yeah, you'd obviously, but that would be your tactic if you're in that position, but yeah, it's not easy to get him in a submission for that when he can reach the ropes.
Or I saw a really smart move the other day, like, it was like a something, I can't remember which submission it was in, and then he grabbed his one, like, he was reaching for the ropes and he, like, blocked his arm.
That'll be in the next
hooked
review.
Hooked his arm around the person who's trying to grab the ropes. It was Saul. Yeah.
I know.
And then he put his, like, arm to his shoulder so he couldn't, reach the ropes.
Oh, it was great. Yeah.
It was really smart.
That'll be on the next, review, right?
I don't think I wrote it down. I don't know. I probably did, but I don't
All right, well, it's good. Just in case you missed it, we got a little spoiler there for this.
Yeah. Victor is targeting Ben's knees, and Victor does the...
Good tactic for a tall guy. That's how you win, right?
Yeah. And then he does the Butterfingers 4. I don't know if that's what the move is called, but that's what a fan shouted.
Oh, okay.
It's a figure 4, but... They called it a Butterfinger 4.
If that's very smart from the fan. If that's not called that, it certainly should be.
Then yeah.
Yeah, that's really clever.
And Victor wins with a roundhouse.
He did. I really enjoyed this match. I thought it was good. There was a lot of playing up with each other. Like, hey, Savage Gentleman normally is the tougher of the guys. But when you've got somebody who's as tall as Ben is, then it was interesting to see him be in that position. Having to deal with that ring and not being able to do some of the things you would normally do as well. Crowd was definitely involved. Like you said, when he banged his head on all sides of the ring, like, everybody felt like they were part of that match. It was good. I really enjoyed that match. The thing I was trying to get to, but then you said I had it in the wrong order. Ben actually had a match at Invictus Pro Wrestling last night as we were recording from Ridgefield Park in New Jersey. And I think his match was against, yeah, match was against TKO. He was heel on this one. I really like heel Ben, I got to say. It makes sense. I don't think I've really seen him cut promos quite on matches that we've been to see. But yeah, put a mic in his hand. He was quite happy talking trash to the guy, like, I'm going to beat you up. It's like, perfect. That's exactly what you want from that type of character. And we might have to go back and watch this one, Mason, because there was a lot of people on this one. I was like, ooh, this is really good. I'm going to go through the card. Evil Kip Stevens versus PB Smooth. Vicious Vicky versus Becca for the women's title. Ichiban versus Gabriel Sky. Ben Bishop versus TKO, we just talked about. Vita Von Starr versus Kai McKenna. Darius Carter versus Eel O'Neill. Ken Broadway versus Trisha Dora. Myron Reed versus AJ Gray. And the Invictus social media title match was Big Game Leroy versus Pancakes versus Mr. Grimm. And it was set up that way so I could announce that match 7 was Mr. Grimm, but you already told me it wasn't. So, yeah, thanks for doing that. I just deliberately switched the order of the matches so I could get a nice segue in there. That card looks amazing, though. Now, there's a lot of local wrestlers there that I recognize and
the
want to see.
The Booker's messed up a little bit by not having PB Smooth versus Big Ben. I would have loved to see that match. That's like fantasy booking.
Why don't we? Yeah. Yeah.
Like a
7-footer versus a 6-foot-12.
Yeah. Yeah. 7-foot versus 6'12.
Yeah, I agree.
It sounds smaller when you say 6'12.
It's because it's the number below. That's why the gas, they, that's why prices or everything is always like $9.99 rather than $10. Yeah, no. They know what they're doing. All right, main event, Sicken versus Ernie Osiris. Go ahead, Mason. Take us to the finish.
Ernie kisses his baby on the way to the ring.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. Yeah.
Ernie attacks Sicken before the match, and a codebreaker by Sicken. And, well, you missed most of the match. You missed, like, 50%
I went out because my charger was... I needed my phone charging. It was suddenly getting really low, and I was worried that... If for some reason, because sometimes that cable's not always good and it doesn't necessarily, I was like, I do not know my way back home from here. Like, once I get onto the interstate, I'm good. But we're like 20 minutes away from the interstate. So yeah, I went out. I'll tell you a little spoiler as well. You know, I'm trying to do 10,000 steps every day.
Oh,
you know,
yeah, yeah.
I actually did a couple of laps of the parking lot at the
same time.
That's
why it was
So yeah, I got it straight away. And then, no, then I was sorting snacks out for you guys as well. Because I was like, oh, because once we get out here, you guys are going to want food as well. So I like put the... I put like a bag of chips and like a cereal bar there for you as well. Got the cable and then I did 2 laps of the parking lot. And it still was like, I was like, I've been gone for a little while now. I need to get back in. So at that point I was at like 9,500. And I have until midnight. And I knew we weren't going to get home until after midnight. So I'm like, I have to get some steps in now or else I'm not doing it. And then when we stopped for gas, I walked while we were it was filling up. And then I walked every single aisle of the 7-Eleven. To see if there was anything I wanted. I didn't. Got my hot dog, and then while I was eating my hot dog, I was walking, and I just got to my 10,000. But
10,006.
Yeah. 10,000. Yeah, I only literally just did it. So, but no, I'm on like 70 days consecutive now, 10,000 steps. There was no way I was going to let that streak end at like 60-something just for the sake of...
Are you competing with Matt, or like no. Helping each other?
I don't think he's doing it anymore.
Oh, he's not.
But I'm still doing it, so... There are other people who I know who are kind of still doing it as well, or doing perhaps not every day, but for me, I'm trying to do it every day. I'm going to keep it going for as long as I can.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was going to be easy today, actually. Say, mommy's had her booster shot.
Oh, that's why
that's kind of why she's knocked out today. And I had the same when I had it 2 weeks ago. I was knocked out that weekend. It was horrible. Like in the morning on Saturday, I went out and did 7,000 steps knowing I wasn't going to be, and it was tough. And then in the evening, I did not feel good, but I was like, I can do 3,000 easy. I just need to get out. And then on Sunday morning, same thing. I was like, ugh. I was like, I can do 3,000. And then thankfully by Sunday evening, I was good and I did the 7,000. So that's why we went out this morning. It was like, well, she needs a little bit of peace. I need to get some steps. I don't know when I'm going to get them otherwise.
We had too many.
Yeah, it wasn't planned that many. I was like, we get 4,000, we'll have a play on the playground, we'll be good. And somehow I ended up getting 8,000. So all worked good. All right, you want to keep going with this match?
So basically,
just tell me what I missed. Basically, I guess this is all new to me.
Much, right? That was it. But Sicken wins with an RKO off of the second rope.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that was kind of
that.
When you're on the ropes, that's kind of what's got to happen.
Yeah.
Like you can't do stuff from the top rope because it's just got physical. I must have seen the finish because I remember that.
Yeah,
part.
You were there.
Yeah, and then when I got back, I was like, "All right, guys," I was like, "Let's go," because we want to kind of beat the rush because we knew that parking lot was going to be busy and it was kind of tight. So I was like, "Let's go," and. just as we were leaving, someone tapped us on the shoulder and was like, hey.
Yeah, it was the cameraman.
Yeah, they was like, hey, there's something else going on if you want to stay. And then we actually saw her again. It was Captain Decapitate and Beastman again. And I was like, I said to you, I was like, oh my God, again? That was my only criticism of this whole show. Like, they came out in between match one and two. They fought in match two. They actually had a match in somewhere else as well. They came out two times. This was the third time that they came out. And I'm going to be honest with you, I was like, I don't care anymore. I was like, I don't want to see, I don't even care. So I don't know, we might have actually missed the final. Actually, I got this quick results. I'm just wondering if it even mentions that on there. It would be really funny if it said that Beastman was the new champion and we missed it.
Yeah, but
it doesn't say anything at the end, so I'm gonna guess nothing major.
But
happened.
When we were leaving, we caught Vam. We got his Twitter.
We finally got his Twitter, so that was good. I think it was I think it was like postman_ Vam or something. Yeah. But
and
that's why I couldn't find
on
it.
On the way out, we saw Ernie. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Ernie. Yeah, I think that's his name. Yeah, Ernie. We saw him holding his baby saying expletives because he lost.
Oh, I don't remember.
Yeah, he was saying that. I swear to punch.
Oh, I didn't hear that part at all. I know Jay said he saw somebody through like one of the windows because you could see them.
No, he was like outside.
Oh, he was?
Walking. I think he left through a different door and then he was walking to the back through that.
Oh, I totally missed.
Because you could get
that.
To the back through a different door.
You could. And I wasn't paying attention because I'm thinking about, all right, where do we need to go from here? How far can we go without gas? Like, I knew I had to fill up at some point and trying to figure out all that stuff as well. So,
we got some 7-Eleven pizza. That was pretty good.
Yeah. You guys said, I asked and Jay said that, and I was like, you're probably good. And I was like, I'll get him one. That's fine. The last thing I got to do, we're not going to be able to go to the next event, unfortunately. On November 15th, they tweeted out, Q Country Roads. Our next event is taking place in the home of West Virginia Mountaineers, Morgantown. Tickets on sale now, and there's a lot of hashtags afterwards. I looked. We've been to Morgantown before, Mason, and I was like, that's kind of a long way. It's 4 hours. I'm like, yeah, I can't make a 4 hours on a Friday. There's just no way. So, yeah, I guess we'll be looking for results just so we can kind of keep up with the story. But I guess that's what a lot of Voltage fans have to do.
Yeah.
Like, you can't go to every single one of these. Like, they've already been in, they've been in West Virginia. They were, I'm trying to remember the name of the place. My mind's just suddenly blanked. I can't remember where that place is that we went to see them at. Anyway, wherever it was in West Virginia. They then went to Hagerstown in Maryland. They've now been in Pennsylvania, Williamsburg, and then now they're going to Morgantown. So, yeah, you kind of got to make sure that even if you don't have that knowledge, you can still enjoy the matches.
Yeah.
And I think they do a pretty good job of doing that. But for the diehard fans, if you kind of want to keep up with it, you've got to keep check on social media and find out all that stuff. So
yeah. We got some insider information about, was it the last EWA show? The traffic was so bad for AK Willis. Was it that one or the one that we missed?
Okay, why that would be for the next in that would be for the next review. Though,
oh
right?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Okay, edited.
Okay. No edits. All right, that'll be a little spoiler. You know, at the end of shows, sometimes they coming up on the next episode,
yeah.
And then they spoil everything. Well, that's not quite as big a spoiler as that. But yes, next time we get to chat with
the next episode, Luke Skywalker dies. Yeah.
We also get to talk to AK Willis for a brief moment, and we'll tell you about that as well. All right, wrap it up.
This is MGB. We're out. Peace.
Music was Zigzag by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. https://creativecommons.org/licenses/by/3.0/